Grace be unto you, and peace of God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning comes from all of our readings, but most specifically from the book of Hebrews. Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire spirit. I'm sure it must have happened to you, if you're human at all, and if you have a family, it must have happened to you. It may even have happened on your way here to the University of Illinois this evening. It's very innocent to begin with. You all pile in the car, Dad usually in the driver's seat, but not always. And then Mother may get in with her handbag and some books, magazines. Someone may even venture to bring in a cup of coffee and set it down either on the dash, on that hump between the driver and the passenger side, or maybe on that armrest that comes down. You sit in the garage and look at one another. Are we all ready? Have we got everything? Is the house locked yet? And off you drive. But as you go around the first corner, the books fly off, a cup of coffee splashes around, and then the attitude of the whole trip is somehow colored by Dad muttering to himself, "You think by now we've learned. You can't put those things on the dashboard. You can't put a cup of coffee on that hump in the center and expect it to stand there while we go around corners or while I put on the brakes." But we never do learn, because the car seems so secure as it sits there in the garage. Everything is so firm, and it looks like that dashboard is just made for putting books on, and that arm so flat to receive whatever we place there. But you see, a car that does not move, by very definition, is not a vehicle, is not a car. And until we learn that we're on a trip and we're not sitting down in some quiet spot with tables and chairs, until we learn that, we're continually going to go through this same experience of having things fly around the front seat and even spill into our laps. Now, before long, we'll have the great pleasure of standing once again in line down at the post office. And we'll hear someone else in the front raise his voice as the postman says to him, "No, you cannot send that package wrapped in scotch tape and in light string." And he then has to move to the side while the rest of us push forward. But you could have someone up there who says, as the man in the post office begins to shake that package very hard, "Please, please, don't shake that thing that way. Don't you realize I have very valuable and fragile items in there?" And the man in the post office, with a wry smile on his face, has to say, "Look, if it won't take the shaking that I'm giving it now, it certainly isn't going to last as it's thrown around from pillar to post in this post office." But the person may come back quite angry at the postman. "That man hates me. That man has something in for me. I've always known it. The government is getting back at me for the way I voted." If you had time to sit down with this individual, you'd have to point out, he doesn't hate you. He has to shape your package. He has to see if it rattles. That package is going on a trip. And when anything moves and goes on a trip, those things which can be shaken will be shaken. Those things which will fall off will fall off. They're going on a trip. Now, the interesting thing about our text today is they all speak to that same end. Except we're the ones that are going on the trip. We are the package. And the trip is the trip of time. Not only the time which you and I recognize of 24 hours a day, and weeks and months, but we are going right through that time barrier, off into a new time called eternity. If you think things are shaken now by a trip around the block, the Lord Jesus reminds us that you haven't seen anything yet. His disciples are highly impressed, as all of us are really, with those things which seem to be solid and sure. And the disciples were in their downtown region, looking at the finest building that they had in their community. Large blocks, great big blocks, blocks that cause one to open your mouth in awe. And they couldn't help but comment on it. See these big stones, they said. What a magnificent structure. And then Jesus reminds them, I say unto you, not one of these stones will be left standing one on the other. Now Christ's words would be true even if nothing else ever happened, even if the Romans had never come, even if the building had never been fired, even if the heat of the flames had not exploded the moisture in that sandstone. Christ's word still would have come true because time itself is the movement that shakes the packages of our life. Time itself would have those stones come tumbling down. But the great sign, the scripture, the great compressed lessons of the Bible are like the postman shaking the package so that we can learn a lesson. And that package of Jerusalem was shaken only a few years later, in 70 AD, when the Romans came and totally sacked that town, and every stone came tumbling down. It's hard for us to believe when we sit here in our garage that the stones will come down. And yet, when will we learn? When will we ever learn? Time has a way of causing the stones of your very body to fall over. Your hair turns gray. Your skin has wrinkles in it. Your eyes grow dim. And all these things do that passage upon. And so Jesus telling his disciples, don't be fooled by the apparent security of faith. But we are. We like security. We like bank buildings made of great big blocks of marble. We like a downtown Chicago where you can walk and feel that the hands of men have somehow pushed back for a while the rabbit pie. But our lesson from Hebrews this morning says that once more God is going to shake the earth and the heavens. Shake them so that everything that's not tied down will come loose, and everything that is created will reveal the fact that it is creature and that it is created, because the only thing that's going to last in the trip that we are taking is that which is not created. Because the trip we're taking is a trip from time into eternity. And all those things and all those people who are the children of time alone will reveal their fragility, reveal the fact that they cannot last. All will be shaken. And the symptoms of it, the evidences of it, These things are already taking place. They take place in your very body. They take place in the life around you. If you only have eyes to see, take a good look at how your house begins to disintegrate. All these things are God's great lessons. And instead of trying to hold it back, understand something. That only those are going to continue towards the end of the trip who are not created. What is that? Not created. The word once more, says Hebrews, indicates the removal of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Well, the Lord speaks to you and to me and tells us a mystery. And the mystery is that those who are born again of water and of the Spirit are the ones who are not created. They are begotten, not created, begotten again of the Father, of water and of the Spirit. And all who hear the word find that something alive begins to dwell within them. And there becomes a part of them which cannot be shaken, because it is born and not made. It is given and not manufactured. It is the Spirit of God, the eternal Spirit of God, that resides in us. And we become His children. And everything else will fall away. The stones and the seer's power will long be gone. Lake Michigan itself will soon dry up. For the Lord is a consuming fire, it says. All these things will disappear. But those who have believed the promises of God, those who have believed and thus become the children of our Heavenly Father, those who sink their roots down in the Eternal One, those who know that they have been forgiven, that they are eternally loved, those who know the goodness of God as revealed in the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of the cross of Christ Jesus, those who finally understand that we are not created anymore, but that we are begotten. We are children. And we're going on a trip. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But the Lord, like a very concerned and workmanlike postman, shakes all of us. Shakes us from time to time, somehow, sometimes a little more than others. But He shakes us to remind us that if it rattles, it won't last. And if you place your trust in those things that wither and die, if you place your trust in that place where thieves break through and steal and moths eat up, then you too will be blown away like the chaff. But if you build your house on the rock, if you put your faith in the One who is eternal, and show that fact by your unconcern when all around you is falling over, if that's what you have done, then you too shall live. These are the hard words of the last Sunday in the church year. Anyone who has ever driven away with loose packages in the front end of his car knows how true they are. Peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen. Let us rise to the altar. you in peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the epistle lesson from Hebrews 13. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Here ends. I don't know whether Noam Chomsky and the linguist would agree with my great theory, but I am convinced that there is a magnificent cauldron somewhere bubbling away, cooking up language. And this language keeps coming up to the surface of the present, and we use it for a while, and then new words appear. There may be such a cauldron, I don't know. But I know that there's a small pot somewhere that is cooking up a little bit of GI slang and lingo. The military's always good for that. There's one phrase that you will learn quickly if you go on any military base, and that's the phrase, Big Mo. Big Mo applies and is used by those people who have now got just a few weeks left on the base. They've spent maybe 3 years there, four or more or less, and they have their orders. And you ask them, would you work on this committee? Would you help move some plants that we have outside of this building? Would you give me your plans for the forthcoming dance? And they'll all look at you right in the eye and say, I'm Big Mo. Big Mo means forget it. I've got my orders. If ever you want to look at someone's eyes where inspiration, optimism, and enthusiasm have totally vanished, look in the eyes of someone who's Figma. They don't want to do anything. It's even too much trouble for them to get up in the morning. They've gotten their orders. They've even forgotten the name of this thing. I'm Figma. Now that happens to a lot of people who get their orders. And there's a tendency at this time of the church year for those of us who have been listening to the text assigned for this time of the church year to also become spiritually faithful. For the text is talking about last time. We are getting our orders. The text for last Sunday were especially clear on this. The disciples had come into Jerusalem, had looked at the great stones of the temple, had suggested to the Lord Jesus how magnificent they were and how solid they were. And he pulled the earth right out from under their feet, as it were, and said they're all going to come tumbling down. They'll all be shaken. Heaven will be shaken. The earth will be shaken. God will roll up the heavens and the earth like a man rolls up a garment and casts it away. That is the theme for this, the last Sunday of the church year. The dying world. And you can recall how we spoke that the human body itself seems to underline this theme as it changes and grows older. And even you, as young as you are, will begin to feel and to sense that truth in your own bones. Now, if we were to continue a text like this for this Sunday and the Sunday following, we could very easily engender a spirit of Figmo in our people. A pessimism over against the world in which we live. Why bother to do anything? The rocks are going to fall down. Why bother to do anything? Our days are numbered. It's easy to slip in to an attitude of nihilism, where there is no more ground of truth. Life does not die with a period. but finally, with a whimper, to develop an attitude that nothing really has mattered or will matter. The earth is going. If you imagine that we are making too much of this, all one has to do is listen to the many reports that come about the attitudes given by our young children in school. They constantly mention that the rocks are going to come down, the bomb may well go off, and what is the use? Well, the text for this Sunday have been chosen to specifically speak to that end, to those people who may imagine that they are sigmos. The first text comes from Daniel, a fascinating one, a vibrant picture. Thrones are set in place, and the Ancient of Days takes his seat. His clothing is as white as snow, the hair on his head white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and the throne had wheels that were all ablaze. What a fascinating picture. God sitting upon a throne, and the throne has wheels. The commentators tell us that that specifically points to the fact that God is God over all places. The wheels on his throne can take him, his governance, and his word to the far corners of all creation, to the heaven and down into hell. Those wheels can transport him. And out of the front of his throne comes a river of fire, flowing, coming out from before him. The commentators remark that this implies that his rule cannot be opposed. No one can approach his throne to do his damage. His word, like fire, comes flowing out. The scene now becomes even more complete as thousands upon thousands attend him on every hand. And 10,000 times 10,000 stand before him. The court is seated. All is quiet. And the books were open. What a powerful statement. The books were open. What that means is that everything that you do or think or have ever done or will ever do has meaning. You see, the nihilist would tell us that ultimately nothing has meaning. The world will either die by fire or ice. But in either case, ultimately, nothing has meaning. There is no God. There is no ground of truth. What we do now is immaterial. Everything is relative, and being relative ultimately is related to the end, which is nothing. But these words stand in opposition to all such thinking. The books were open. Those words remind us that what we do has meaning. What has taken place has meaning. That though it may not look like it, there is justice in creation. There is purpose to all that you see, to the clouds in the sky, to the grass in the field, to the animals that hop about our trees and our land. There is purpose to everything, for the books are open. Can you be sigmo when the books are to be opened? But the images continue. Jesus in Mark speaks about a fig tree. Take a lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. If these are the texts of the last time, of a dying world, of falling rocks, of everything ultimately winding down, then why speak of a fig tree whose leaves are coming forth? This image is purposely placed here to remind those of us who may be coming sigmo that our life hasn't even begun yet.
The great image of the last times is not a dead tree, a dying tree. It's not a bonfire of the vanities. The great image of the last times are the buds on a fig tree. So we look to the first Hebrews reading, which says, all of you who may have a pessimistic view towards your world, towards what you're doing here in it, towards the direction to which it may be headed, those of you who may spiritually be saying, forget it, I've got my orders, hear these words. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all those saints who have gone before, those who have believed in the resurrected Christ, since we are surrounded by so many of them, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Once again, we seem to have some mixed pictures here. We have a picture of a throne, of a cross, a picture of a race, a picture of hardship, a picture of hanging on. And yet right in the middle of that picture comes this word joy. Scripture well knows that we get tired and get tired quite easily. That we are like grass which grows in the morning. In the morning it grows and flourishes, and in the evening it is cut down. Scripture understands that your faith and mine is like a smoking flax. Not a bright flame, just a little smoking flax. Scripture well understands that your faith and mine is like a bruised reed. It can't stand up straight. It keeps bending over. And the life juices of it keep squeezing itself out. Scripture understands that. That's why it comes and says to us all, look, don't be tired in doing good. Don't be tired when all around you may be saying figmo, figmo. When all around you keep saying there is no meaning, this old word is passing away, there is no meaning. Instead, the Bible looks to you and to me and says, put your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And call upon your heavenly Father who raised him from the dead, that he should raise you from the dead, not only then, but right now. That God should raise us from the deadness of nihilism, that he should raise us from the deadness of pessimism, that he should put some joy in our hearts, because we're on a long journey, because our life hasn't even begun yet, because the little twig is just beginning to bud, because the grave opens up before us, because though there may seemingly be an end to the movable things of this world, their fall only heralds the beginning of life. These texts in these last Sundays of the church year sound a high positive note of grand and glorious encouragement to you and to me. If anyone should be the optimist, you should be, and I should be. If anyone should be happy where we are, though the earth falls down around us, you should be, and I should be. Christian people, above all else, because of the high promises they had, because of the great gospel which has been given to them, because the Lord beckons us on from the other side as his beloved children, we too should be shining in the darkness of these last times. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.